broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. Absolutely one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. Remember, government derives its just power from the consent of the governed. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. By the way, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back. One heart, one mind, one issue at a time for ride day. You got to dig that. And I'm going to start out and say, shame on the House. Shame on the Senate as well. Senate clears hurdle to raising debt ceiling. Did you see this? New York Times with this piece. And I know people say, Sam, why do you quote the New York Times and USA Today and kind of the enemy media a lot? Sam, why do you do that? Why don't you go to our sources? Because oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, new listeners don't understand all of our new media sources and they don't trust them. So whenever we can get information from the mainstream press, we might as well use it. And what we need to do is when they tell the truth, give them credit, even the mainstream press. When they don't tell the truth, then we need to challenge them on it every time. But headline says Senate clears hurdle to raising debt ceiling. All right. And it's just basically New York Times, right? NYT with this one. Now, are they getting it right? Well, kind of. We'll drill into this to make the point. Okay. Senate clears the hurdle. Dateline Washington, they say the Senate on Thursday, so yesterday, cleared away the last major hurdle to raising the debt ceiling. They say approving legislation that would all but guarantee that Congress will be able to move quickly in the coming days to spear the government away from a first ever federal default. They say the breakthrough came after 14 Republicans joined every Democrat to effectively end. Wow. Now listen, they say to end their party's month-long blockade. The legislation eventually passed by a similar margin, 59 to 35. With 10 Republicans joining Democrats for final passage. Here's what they did, ladies and gentlemen. They established a, quote, one time, what they call fast track process for Congress to increase the statutory borrowing limit by set amount that is still to be determined. They say that would pave the way for a separate vote to increase the debt limit as much as $2.5 trillion expected early next week that puts Congress on track to avoid a fiscal crisis with little time to spare. Yeah, the Treasury Department said they would reach the limit by December the 15th, so it's coming up quickly, and they would no longer be able to finance the government's operations or obligations. Thursday's vote, they say, broke through months of politically charged wrangling in the Senate where Republicans have refused to let Democrats take up any long-term, quote, debt ceiling increase. And they've used the filibuster to block their efforts to do so. But now Mitch McConnell, the minority leader, cut a deal with Democrats in a very convoluted process that would allow the borrowing cap to be raised on a simple majority vote. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is where, you know, you get the government literally just playing games. So you used to have a supermajority for all these things, but they knew they couldn't get it passed. So Republicans joined with Democrats and betrayed us. And they didn't get rid of the supermajority permanently, just kind of this one time to raise the debt ceiling. McConnell, of course, was among the 10 Republicans who voted both to enhance and to pass the legislation. Among recriminations between everybody in there and in the Republican Party that said that it was a betrayal. Amen, it was a betrayal. The measure was packaged with legislation that would postpone scheduled cuts to Medicare, farm aid, and other mandatory spending programs. Yeah. There you have it. They're just lying. They'll never have the guts to stand up. For Democrats, they say it was a crucial step towards completing a slew of, quote, must-pass bills this month. Yeah. Anyway, they basically have just spent us into oblivion. Democrats were focused and eager to focus their full attention on muscling through Biden's marquee domestic policies before Christmas, but they may not get that done. Although Democrats have not said how much they will, quote, increase the borrowing cap, it's expected that they will, well, delay some things, and they say they'll need to raise it at least by $2.5 trillion to cover that period. Now, where do you go with this? Again, everybody always tells me you got to work on the Republicans, Sam. That's where the answers are. Those are the conservative guys. Those are doing a good job. Every time we're betrayed by the Republicans, every time we want to hold the line, it's Republicans that break and sell us out. In October, for example, Mitch McConnell relented temporarily. Yeah, corralling 10 of his colleagues to join him in breaking his own party's filibuster of a short-term increase to the debt limit. But then he said in a scathing letter to Biden that he would not do so again. But he just did. Yeah. They say they could do this through reconciliation without Republicans, but we bailed them out this time. Yeah. They simply sat back and expected that we would once again provide special opportunities for them. And that's exactly what we've done. Yep. What a shame. We've created a dangerous precedent, ladies and gentlemen. They say that would erode the rules of the Senate filibuster that has long, quote, protected the minority party. See, I don't believe in the filibuster at all, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe in protecting any party. Okay, I believe each individual should be responsible for their votes, and their votes should be transparent. And we, the people, based on our consent, should say, we like your voting, we're going to keep you there and reelect them, and or say, we don't like your voting. You're gone. You're out of there. We'll find somebody who will. That's what needs to happen. But no, we're not doing it, ladies and gentlemen. We're not holding anybody accountable or standing up for what matters or what's right at all. They have caved, the Republicans. They have sold us out. And shame on the Senate for clearing the, quote, hurdle to raising the debt ceiling. It's a shame on them. It's a shame on them. I'm mad about and disappointed in the Senate. I don't think we should have gone along at all. You say, Sam, do you just want to create a default? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't really want to create a default, no. But if a default is the only natural consequence to rein in spending, then somehow we've got to do something. Okay, we'll never rein in spending if there's no consequences or accountability or transparency in the process. Okay, that's what you really got to understand. It is about reducing spending. It is about the federal government living within their constitutional restraints. It is about we the people giving consent to government and government only carrying out what we've given consent to and nothing more and nothing less. And it is about the proper funding to carry out those constitutional requirements. But what they've done is literally sold us down the river to the point where at some point somebody will force a halt to the con game. Let me say that again. It's only a matter of time when somebody somewhere will force a halt to the con game. Okay, somebody will eventually call in the debt due. And then we'll be forced to reckon with this reality. We will not be able to continue to take a drink from the economic bottle of false prosperity and pretend that it's okay. We will not be able to sell the next generation into flat-out slavery, financially speaking. We will be required to be accountable and transparent and make decisions. Well, I'm suggesting to you that there are better ways to go about this without defaulting. You might say something like this. We will raise the debt ceiling by, say, $1 trillion instead of $2.5 trillion. However, we will demand the increase of accountability by the decrease of spending by double, triple, quadruple the amount we raised the debt ceiling. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, we can work through ways to create accountability down the road. We may not do it all at once, but what did we extract for our cave? Answer, nothing but increased spending. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips always, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about the debt ceiling, Republicans absolutely betrayed us. Senate now clears hurdle to raising the debt ceiling. New York Times, it goes into the compromise. It goes into the, we don't even know how much we're raising the debt ceiling. We just know we already agreed by changing Senate rules that we are. How much? Time will tell. That's a later date discussion. That's how they deceive you. They get you to vote for something, and then, well, you don't even know what you're voting for because you don't know how much or anything else. It's a big old lie. Republicans are as guilty as Democrats. Shame on them. Always enough Democrats side with, or enough Republicans, I'm sorry, side with the Democrats to sell us down the river. That always, always, always happens on the court, in Congress, everywhere you go. Sadly, that becomes the reality. Now, I say to you, what have we extracted along the way to create accountability and transparency in this. Senate clears hurdle to raising debt ceiling, but I don't see where we've gained anything. What we should have said is if you want to raise the debt ceiling $2.5 trillion, we're not doing that. We're going to go through this bill, and we're only going to fund the constitutional things, and we're going to reduce spending to where, you know what, we're going to reduce the debt ceiling maybe half a trillion, maybe even $1 trillion. But we're going to, on the back end, force the reduction in spending enough to say, hey, number one, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling again into the future. And two, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling near as much as you want. And Democrats, if you want to shut down the government because we won't increase the debt ceiling to your spend happy satisfaction, then shame on you. See, we didn't extract anything in this. We didn't create any accountability. We didn't create any more responsibility going forward. We didn't change the game or use this to make sure that we, you know, bought ourselves time or put less burden on the next generations or any of those things like we should have. We just flat out caved. What a shame it is. What a sad tale to tell. All right, now there's another interesting headline that I find just shocking to me. I thought I'd bring it to your attention and see what you think as well. Headline says this from Charlie Savage. House passes bill curbing many, quote, presidential powers. My response is not. They didn't do that, okay? Don't lie to yourself. Don't be deceived, folks. I'm not trying to be rude, Charlie, but I'm just telling you I don't buy it. Headline says Republicans almost unanimously opposed the, quote, Protecting Our Democracy Act, which might be broken into several components in the Senate. They say Washington is the dateline. In the House, on Thursday, passed a, quote, sweeping package of constraints on presidential power, which Democrats frame as a response to Donald J. Trump's norm-busting presidency, and Republicans unanimously opposed for the same reason. Uh-huh. Well, then how did it get passed? Well, they say because Democrats can pass anything they want, they don't need Republicans, right? They say by a nearly party-line vote, get the word nearly, okay? Of 220 to 208. 220 to 208. But remember, you got to have 218 to make something pass, right? They say the House approved the Protecting Our Democracy Act. They say which would impose new curbs on executive power. But see, I don't believe that at all. Proponents of, quote, tighter government ethics have long held the measures of this, and Republicans have supported them, but they have been recast as partisan issues because of their association with Donald Trump. Wow. Yeah, Donald's pretty powerful, isn't he? The last administration, they say, saw our democracy in crisis with a rogue president who trampled over the guardrails that protected our republic. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said, so how do they have a Protecting Our Democracy Act when Nancy Pelosi just, for once, called it a republic? Congress has the solemn responsibility and opportunity to safeguard our democracy, they lie. Okay, that's the lie. Congress has a solemn responsibility and opportunity to safeguard our democracy. Then they lie, saying ensuring that past abuses can never be perpetrated by any president of any party. That's a lie. We don't have a democracy, folks. Let's be very clear about that for a minute. They say the legislation would require presidential candidates to disclose their tax returns, which Trump refused to do. anyway, they talk about then, you know, presidents wouldn't be able to deal with their own finances or reward themselves financially, da-da-da-da-da-da. They say there's no passage or possibility for the bill in the Senate, but those who want it to pass plan on breaking it up into little pieces because they believe they can get it passed that way. They say the legislation's path has been slowed down by uncertainty because they want to say that how do we manage this along with allowing that the executive branch can still carry out its duties? They say our system was founded on the respect for the rule of law and a carefully constructed balance of powers among the three branches of government. That system throughout history has been tested. Anyway, they believe that Republicans believe it's a partisan attack on Donald Trump. And many elements of the bill have Republican support in other contexts. See, this goes to the idea where they believe, ladies and gentlemen, all they got to do is divide it up into little pieces and you'll pass it. But I have a problem that Congress or House passes bill curbing many presidential powers, not. That's what I say. They say the House approved this Protecting Our Democracy Act. Well, shame on the House. They have no right to approve a bill that doesn't protect anything. Okay? We don't have a democracy. Congress does have a solemn responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, an opportunity to safeguard our republic, but not our democracy. Right? Not a democracy. Do you understand the difference, folks? Now, I know people are just going to be like, Sam, we're just saying we have democratic principles, don't we? Yes, we do. But to call our form of government a democracy alone is a betrayal. If you are an elected official and you swore an oath to the supreme law of our land, you must acknowledge that we are a republic. If we are a republic, we have no business passing a, quote, Protecting Our Democracy Act. You would say, I don't want to protect our democracy. I want to protect our constitutional republic. The differences in the form of government are startling. A democracy is much more like a socialism state. A democracy is much more like a mob rule state. The House approved the Protecting Our Democracy Act. The Congress should safeguard our republic, not a dishonest democracy. Think about that, folks. This is serious. This isn't just a joke. This isn't something to laugh at. This isn't something where you just go, oh, Sam, you're just kind of expressing your opinion. No, this is discussing our form of government. Do we have a democracy? No, we don't. So when they say they're going to curb presidential powers, the only reason we have allowed presidential powers to get out of control is because Congress has not done their duty. They've been derelict in their duty for so long, the president has walked all over Congress. We don't need a new democracy act to solve that. We just need Congress to stand up and demand their powers be safeguarded and use the mechanisms within the supreme law of our constitutional republic to rein in the courts and or the president if they cross the line. That's what we're talking about, or we should be talking about. Did you hear Jussie Smollett was found guilty and convicted on 5 counts of staging? That's faking, racist, an anti-gay attack in Chicago, lying to police. The jury decides the actor invented the tale about being a victim of a hate crime, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Senate on Thursday adopted a bipartisan deal that opens the way for lawmakers to raise the debt ceiling. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the national debt will be maxed out next week. The compromise, which now heads to President Biden's desk, essentially puts to rest the wrangling over the country's financial health until after the 2022 midterm elections. Two former top D.C. National Guard officials claim that an internal Army report on its response to January 6th at the Capitol is loaded with lies. The March 18th Army report says Guard members weren't prepared to respond quickly to the riots and describe multiple communications between top Army officials and the D.C. Guard's commander, then Major General William Walker. Walker, now Sergeant-at-Arms in the House, says some of those communications the Army described in the report never actually happened. For more information, give us a visit at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at exergen.com. That's EXERGEN.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Just in time for Christmas, Michael Lindell has dropped the price of the standard classic MyPillow, regularly $69.98 to $19.98. Now, queen and king size slightly higher, but that price includes a free press and pack bag so you can take your MyPillow with you anywhere. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Support Mike Lindell and American Jobs and give my pillow for Christmas.
For more than three decades, Chinese authorities forced men and women to undergo sterilization to control population growth. Now, as the Chinese government tries to reverse a plummeting birth rate, hospitals in China are turning away men seeking vasectomies. As corporate America appears to be turning a blind eye to the abuses taking place in China, the American people are starting to take a stand against this type of behavior.
Congress now turns its attention to legislation addressing China, specifically allegations of human rights abuses and intellectual property theft from Americans. California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna explains what actions he believes the United States can take to keep China in check on Fox Business.
We need to make sure we have a technology advantage, AI and quantum computing, in the technologies of the future. Second, we need to have clear forward deployment and alliances with Australia, Japan, and India to make it very clear that the United States will not stand for any invasion of Taiwan.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Ladies and gentlemen, miracles in the Republic still abound. I know the mainstream press and your godless government. I know government's supposed to be inspired of God. But in our society, we've turned our back on all things godly, sad to say. But I submit to you, there are enough righteous people in the great country known as the United States of America. There's enough people who believe in God and who believe in miracles to where faith flat out follows them. So I'm submitting to you that miracles are live and well in America. And to prove it, Dr. Scott Bradley is finally back with us. As you know, he got very ill indeed. I commented on a little bit to encourage prayer for Scott and for his family. And I mentioned it from time to time that, hey, he's getting a little bit better and a little bit stronger. I didn't comment too much on it because of HIPAA laws and because of respect for the family, etc. But I really wanted to kind of let you know that I did care. We did pray for him. We worked hard for him. But I wanted it to be Scott to tell you about his personal challenges, not me or some third party. Dr. Bradley, God bless you. It is a miracle. And welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's indeed a blessing and a privilege to be able to speak again on behalf of the cause of liberty and proper government. You know, we took a little bit of time off, and we're still on our way back. But to tell you the truth, your assessment of miracles is truly a correct view on this thing. People today seem to think that miracles have ceased. and that, you know, we're in a time of, you know, science and all that kind of stuff. But I truly believe that it is a miracle that we've made it to where we are right now. And truly, I also would believe that anybody that offered a word of prayer, a supplication to God on behalf of our restoration, participated in a miracle. So those that prayed can say, I was part of a miracle. And I truly believe that. The miracle is part of everybody's efforts. And, of course, God hears prayers. He answers them. And it's interesting how prayers and faith have been offered up on behalf of our recovery all across the land and even overseas. I posted a little thing on social media here the other day, and it was just to say, hey, we're on our way kind of thing, you know, and I'll bet it wasn't a half an hour later, I got a response from China. People are keeping an eye on things, and they wished us so much goodness and you know, Godspeed, and it's interesting to see that all around the world, there are people that are participating and hoping for and praying for the preservation of liberty in this land, because if this land fails, the whole world is in deep trouble. And by the way, that brings to mind something. When I run for office, I usually have a website that it tracks where those that are accessing the website come from, you know, the countries they're in. And almost every, it was so fascinating to me, almost every morning, one of the first things I did when I got up, I fired the computer up and went to those metrics to see, you know, where people were accessing it. And it's really astounding to me that the accesses came at least in equal number from those in the country to those outside the country. And sometimes those outside the country exceeded those within the country. There are people around the world that are paying attention to what's going on in this land. And we really are, you know, under God's graces, the last hope as a nation to be able to uphold the principles that are giving, you know, people the choice to live as they want to live. And unfortunately, you know, if you listen to so much of the, you know, mainstream world and the, you know, to the talking heads that are, you know, prevailing in terms of the news and everything, the actors that are propaganda ministers on the news stations and so on, they would have us believe that the momentum is in a different direction. But if you listen to the real people, you listen to the, you know, you look at the statistics, you know, whether it's how the, you know, the vaccines being accepted across the nations of the world, there is a great, vast number of people that are saying we will not bow to the hand of tyranny. And in spite of this, you know, the image that's promoted by the, you know, the clones that are delivering our news to us, we really do have a vast number of people that are standing on the correct side. So,
yeah, let me prove the point to you, Dr. Bradley. We're rejoicing in God's miracles for your life and for my life. We both overcame COVID-19 and or whatever else befell us along the way. But the United States just passed what they say a major milestone. This is the mainstream press. The United States passed a major vaccination milestone. 200 million are fully vaccinated. They say the vaccination milestone comes as infections, hospitalizations, and deaths are rising, even in the states with the highest vaccination rates. In fact, Vermont, where 74% of the population is vaccinated, new cases are record levels, ladies and gentlemen. This is kind of what we're talking about here. But what they're not telling you in this, they want you to believe that's a huge number, and it is. But they want you to believe that's kind of the majority of the people. Well, we're well over 60%. We're well over 200 million. But that means there's 130 plus million that are not fully vaccinated. And yes, rates are climbing of illness. But I submit to you that what percent has natural immunity literally 18 plus months after the fact? You know what? Dr. Bradley and myself have full natural immunity now, at least as the story goes. Unless those who intentionally created this virus mutate the virus more rapidly than hosts in normalcy would mutate, and they mutate it rapidly enough to get us sick again and again and again and again, which I believe is the mode of operandus that they're taking at this point. I believe it was a manufactured, gain-of-function research-created virus, and then I believe that it was intentionally released on the people. And you say, Sam, why do you say that? And my answer is clear. I say that simply because everything they're doing to prevent the disease is actually furthering the faster mutation of the disease, the weakening of the immune system, and anybody who tries to jettison their narrative is considered a criminal, a terrorist, a fake news personality, whatever. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, they wanted 10 days to flatten the curve. We're literally almost now 2 years in, according to their numbers. We're more than 2 years in if you look at the facts about when the coronavirus really started spreading. And ladies and gentlemen, is it any better? Now in Vermont, they've literally got 74% of the people vaccinated, right? But ladies and gentlemen, after 74% of the population vaccinated in Vermont, new cases are at record levels. What does that tell you? It tells you that they're lying to you and that it isn't working. And they have this planned pandemic. And everything they're doing is fostering the growth of their fear factor, of their death campaign, of their dishonesty, of destroying all medical normalcy. Dr. Bradley, with that, I'd like you to respond.
Well, you know, there's just so many issues that need to be brought forth. There's an old kind of, you know, smart aleck adage about if you see a politician with their lips moving, they're lying. And I think it goes way beyond that now. The public health offices have completely lost credibility. They have changed their narrative. They have modified things. In fact, I'm of the opinion that nothing that has been done up to this point has been science-based. It's not based upon fact or research. It's based upon political agenda. And right from the very beginning, here, March in 2020, I did I've mentioned this on your program before, a television interview with a major news outlet in the state of Utah. And I could tell from the line of their questioning, from the very moment they opened their mouth, that the agenda was to push compulsory vaccinations. They're using an instrument, as you talk about, an enhanced disease that was man-created and released upon society as the instrument to carry out a political agenda. And it's interesting to me that, you know, this 2 weeks of flatten the curve and the idea that we all get vaxxed, it's all going to be well. If people were willing to listen, do we need to take a break already, Sam?
Roger that. Quick pause. Dr. Scott Bradley, ladies and gentlemen, with us as we rejoice over God's miracles on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperform gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley back with us. We are celebrating. We are rejoicing in God's miracles. Welcome back, brother. Yes, indeed, well, Dr. Scott Bradley with us. The COVID vaccines are a sham, folks. And the protocols in the hospitals are absolutely, in my opinion, by the average Joe in the hospital, they're just shoddy. They're just second guess, by golly. But I believe from the top down, these protocols are intentionally created to kill, to create a culture of death. You say, why do you say that, Sam? Because it goes against everything we scientifically know about preserving life, returning people to health and strength and vitality that we've known for literally a couple of hundred years. Everything is being turned on its head, doctor, and that cannot be by accident.
Well, it would certainly seem not. I mean, why would we set aside proven protocols for, you know, literally decades? And you know, it's interesting to me that everybody says, well, this is the official, you know, sanctioned and advised way to treat this. Having been through all of those treatments, I'm absolutely convinced that that they're more destructive than helpful. And it's interesting to me that, let's just take the yellow fever issue in the Panama Canal. They initially thought that by putting, they put the hospital bed legs on the beds in the hospital in cans that held water. But ultimately and finally, we came to understand they were breeding grounds for mosquitoes, which were the carrier of the yellow fever. Their medical procedure was facilitating the spread of the yellow fever. You look at the 1918 flu situation. The protocol that was advised, the massive doses of aspirin, literally I've seen estimates that the Bayer company with their aspirin killed 20 million people during that time. So it's there's a historical kind of precedent where there's been just horrific bad choices made by those that are trying to throw together what they claim to be solutions for this, and yet they've been destructive. And I think we look at what's happened in the States. There are medical procedures that I truly believe have facilitated the death of tens of thousands of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people in this country, because of the medicines and the protocols that are being used. And you look at how the death rate in the United States, percentage-wise, is so much higher than the rest of the world, and I think it can be attributed to some of the protocols that are used and some of the medicines that are literally being, I mean, they're the go-to medicine or the go-to pharmacy for these kinds of things. And literally, when I was first admitted to the hospital, there was an effort to inject me with some of these medicines. And fortunately, I had family members there that were wise enough to forbid it absolutely. And I am absolutely convinced that was, I mean, we have medicines that if you use them, you've got about a 50% chance of dying, and the rest of the people end up with dead kidneys. I mean, it's just appalling to me. And so the approach to this seems to have been purposeful. Now, some of you, your listeners, may remember Vietnam. Some of us that were alive back in that period wondered why everything we did the enemy seemed to know before we did what the next step was. And it come to find out that our information was being shared with the communists through the United Nations. And so they had advance notice of everything. Well, that's the same problem I feel like we've got with this attack on trying to preserve our health. I believe the people at the top really are complicit in the whole thing. And it's just a tragedy and a travesty how this has been foisted on the nation to build fear, to ultimately and finally, I believe, reshape all of society. And so it's time for all of us as Americans to say, no more. We're not going to do this. We're not going to play this game. There's enough of us out there. And by the way, you talk about all those that are vaccinated. Millions, literally, that are getting sick now are fully vaccinated. It shows us that the vaccine doesn't work. It doesn't prevent the spread of the disease. And then they tell us, oh, yeah, we got to get a booster shot. And, oh, yeah, here's another variant. We're going to have a three-shot regimen that's going to take that thing. This is a never-ending money machine for the big pharma companies. And what we're seeing, if you're willing to look, the percentage of people that are fully vaccinated, and not only are the vax-damaged people, it's horrific, the numbers of people that are damaged by the vax. It's also horrific.
Let me give you the latest statistic that kind of highlights some of your statements here, Dr. Bradley. Believe it or not, in the 90 days following the EUA, emergency authorization, if you will, release of the vaccine, they, meaning Pfizer, recorded 1,223 deaths and 158,000 adverse reactions, including fetal deaths, spontaneous abortions, and more. They call this in their, quote, encrypted transhuman pharma lingo, they call it the post-marketing experience. But literally, they know the death, the carnage of the vaccinations. And in any other time in history when they even rolled out a program similar, even if there's a few deaths, they'd yank it off the market and stop it. Now they literally know that deaths abound, and they don't care. Only 90 days, they recorded 1,223 deaths and over 158,000 adverse reactions. And now that we look at the VARS database in America, we have well over 20,000 deaths and a million adverse reactions. And they're still doubling down and increasing the number of people to take experimental vaccines. They claim that the vaccines went away from experimental to approved, but nobody is getting the approved shot because there is no inventory. The fact is everyone's still getting the experimental vaccine, and you got to ask yourself why about that. But then you got to furthermore say it isn't working. Death and carnage is in its wake, but your government doesn't care. In fact, Joe Biden's so belligerent, he forced a mandate that now three courts have jettisoned and the Senate has voted against. But Joe Biden says, ignore them. Who cares about the law? Do it anyway, businesses. And you've got a rogue criminal president now, literally blatantly thumbing his nose at the law. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, they continue to vax. But believe it or not, more than 300 members of state legislatures around the country now have signed on to a letter calling for the president, or Joe Biden, if you will, to abandon his call for a COVID-19 vaccine mandate. People are starting to stand up. And the question is, will they stand up enough? But I really want to get to the bottom of this, though. You know what? Are we ever going to know if it was intentionally released for a fact? Are we ever going to know if they're intentionally mutating it quicker? Are we ever going to know if the protocols in the hospital are done with best intentions but just misguided, or if they're really designed to create death? We know that behind the scenes, elitists in shadow governments have wanted population control for a long time. Where does this really go, Dr. Bradley?
Well, again, this is a problem that was created that isn't really the end result. I mean, it's the agenda that's being pushed. And as you point out, the deaths and destruction, I mean, you know, back in 1976, with that vaccine, they had a handful of people die, and they pulled it immediately. In the first few months of this episode, they killed more people than all the combined vaccines of the previous 45 years. And yet they continue to ride this narrative. And again, the narrative is to drive us all to fear, to doubt. I mean, there's a legislature in, well, it's in Illinois, that is trying to say if you're not vaxxed, you can't get health insurance. I mean, this is absolutely they're riding roughshod over every right Americans have had, and it's to force us all into compulsion. And you look at what's happening around the world, the compulsion is going to be tyranny. And you look at this around the world, and you have to say, holy cow, look at some of those other nations. And I think we'd be well down that path if there weren't some, you know, safeguards that people still recognize, you know, the constitutional limits and everything else like that. But literally in China, they were welding people's doors shut to keep them isolated in their homes when they were doing their quarantines. And you look at what's happening in Australia and over in Europe, it is absolutely appalling. As we said earlier, America is the last great hope, and Americans have got to awaken and arouse themselves to a sense of their awful situation and recognize them. As we started this in the program, I know we're running out of time, but miracles do and can and do occur. The united voices of people praying for an outcome of a righteous purpose, I think God still hears prayers. I'm confident he does, and he will answer those prayers. And we as a people need to be supplicating God. We need to be exercising that great gift of choice that he blessed us with as we came to this earth. And hopefully we'll be able to prevail in spite of the tyranny that's being implemented by those that seek to overthrow the freedom of all lands. And that's kind of where we are. This is a watershed moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, we wanted to highlight that we believe these protocols are intentionally designed for death, that we know that this, virus is literally man-made and intentionally released. I don't have factual evidence of that, but I have anecdotal evidence. Everything they're doing is making it worse. Literally 2 years later now, they're telling me that in a place where they're 74% vaccinated, that the cases are skyrocketing. That doesn't happen if the vaccine works, ladies and gentlemen. They have a tyrannical agenda tied to this, and it's everything that we do to try to minimize it, to reduce faith instead of, or to produce faith instead of fear, to back away, to stabilize ourselves. They reject every single thing in the hospital that we do to save lives. They flat out reject. And they wouldn't be doing that if there was not another agenda at work. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Bradley is doing better. He's gaining strength, as you can wisely tell. He's got faith, and we celebrate miracles. We testify that miracles are real, and his life and my life are proof of it. And we may have been attacked. It's hard to tell. The facts are hard to come by. But I can tell you this. We will not leave this earth until God calls us home. And we will preach the sacred cause of liberty as long as we have the ability to do so. On a future broadcast soon, Scott will tell you his harrowing story of what happened, a little bit in more detail at his choosing. But we'll do that, Dr. Bradley. Thank you so much for coming back, and we're glad that you're alive, and we're celebrating your recovery, sir.
Well, thank you much. Godspeed to everybody in this land, and thank you for your prayers.
We'll have you back soon, brother. There he goes, Dr. Scott Bradley, ladies and gentlemen, preaching the sacred cause of liberty once again by the miracle of Almighty God. Thank you for allowing us to be on your radio. Spread the word, tell the tale, lead with love, set the example, pray hard, work hard. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.